At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Felon Debrief, a weekly look at major criminal cases and investigations from across Australia. Each episode, we break down the latest developments in ongoing investigations, court proceedings, and cold cases. Australia's crime landscape this week stretches from the southern coasts of New South Wales to remote Western Australia. Police, coroners, and courts are confronting a grim mix of homicides, attempted murders, violent assaults, and historic cold cases. Nearly 2 months have passed since Victoria's High Country was rocked by a deadly attack on police officers, and the man at the centre of it remains elusive. Desi Freeman, 56, has not been seen since August 26th when he allegedly shot and killed two officers, leaving a third injured inside a makeshift bus in Porepunkar. In the immediate aftermath, authorities closed large portions of Mount Buffalo National Park, fearing Freeman had fled into the surrounding bushland. Hundreds of police officers, supported by the Victoria Police Air Wing and specialist units from across Australia and New Zealand, scoured the park, conducting extensive searches of trails, properties, and remote areas. Over 1,600 pieces of intelligence were investigated, and more than 800 individuals were interviewed as police chased every lead. Commissioner Mike Bush confirmed that whether Freeman is alive, dead, or being hidden by others remains unknown. Despite the uncertainty, police say the search for Freeman remains a top priority, and a strong police presence will continue in the area. The human toll is evident even within Freeman's own family. His brother James Philby expressed his belief that Freeman may have perished in the wilderness, writing that he hopes his brother has peace now, and acknowledging that Freeman would have wanted to avoid capture. Mount Buffalo's reopening comes amid the largest ever financial incentive in Victoria's history, a $1 million reward for information leading to Freeman's capture. Authorities continue to urge locals, hikers, and anyone with trail or hunting cameras to report potential sightings. The danger alert for the park remains active, and police warn visitors to remain vigilant as the hunt for the fugitive continues. Western Australia, sovereign citizens, gun raids. October 5th, in Perth, authorities carried out a sweeping raid on properties linked to self-described sovereign citizens, a fringe group opposed to government authority. Dawn operations across suburban and rural properties resulted in the seizure of over 100 firearms, along with ammunition, body armor, and extremist literature. Police allege that some weapons were illegally modified and may have been obtained through theft. Arrested individuals face charges ranging from illegal possession to licensing offenses. Officers describe the raids as proactive, aimed at preventing violent incidents connected to this ideological movement. Analysts say that such movements, while small, often harbour individuals willing to engage in confrontational or violent acts, particularly in rural areas where law enforcement presence is limited. Bega, New South Wales, October 6th. A quiet Monday morning in Bega turned into a nightmare for locals when a man's body was discovered in a public park near the river on October 6th. Uniformed police quickly cordoned off the area, calling in homicide detectives from Sydney. Forensic teams examined the scene, collecting evidence from the grass, nearby benches, and surrounding bushland. Initial reports suggested chainsaw injuries, sparking public fear and online speculation, but detectives later clarified that the victim had been stabbed multiple times, the wounds consistent with a deliberate, targeted attack. Police have revealed that several suspects remain at large and are appealing for anyone who might have witnessed suspicious activity in the area. The motive remains unclear, but sources indicate the attack was personal rather than opportunistic. Locals have expressed shock at the brutality, describing the town as normally quiet and safe. Bacara, Victoria, October 7th. The Bacara crash has cast a long shadow over rural Victoria since it claimed four lives in 2023. A coroner's report released October 7th confirms that the sole survivor, a teenage girl, had been driving the car when it collided with a tree. The vehicle was travelling at excessive speed, and the driver lacked proper licensing and experience. Families of the deceased described the findings as both tragic and validating. The coroner noted that rural roads often pose unique dangers for young drivers, where isolation, sharp bends, and limited visibility increase the likelihood of accidents. The report has sparked calls for more stringent supervision of provisional drivers and increased community education on road safety. Queensland. Jordan Spencer, October 8th. Jordan Spencer was sentenced to 13 years in prison after deliberately setting a woman alight during a dispute over drugs. Court proceedings revealed that the attack was premeditated. Spencer allegedly doused his victim in a flammable substance before igniting her. She survived, but sustained severe burns. The judge described the assault as savage, cruel, and unprovoked. Police said the investigation relied heavily on witness testimony and forensic evidence, including accelerant residues and CCTV from surrounding streets. Spencer's sentence reflects both the severity of the attack and a broader commitment by courts to punish acts of extreme personal violence. High Court ruling, October 8th. In a landmark decision, Australia's High Court upheld the AFP's use of the ANOM encrypted messaging app in a sting operation targeting organised crime. Bikie figures had challenged the operation, arguing it breached privacy and constitutional protections. The court ruled that the operation was lawful. Evidence gathered through ANOM had already contributed to hundreds of arrests nationwide. Legal experts say the decision confirms that covert digital surveillance of organised crime is permissible under current law, setting a precedent for future operations. Police and federal agencies welcome the ruling as a critical tool in combating sophisticated criminal networks. Sydney, Croydon Park gunman, October 9th. In Croydon Park, Sydney residents are still reeling after an alleged mass shooting that injured 16 people on a busy street. Artemios Mintzas, 60, is accused of opening fire from his apartment window on Sunday night, spraying almost 50 bullets at pedestrians, passing cars, and police officers. Charged with 25 offences, including shooting with intent to murder, Mintzas allegedly wielded a high-caliber M1 carbine rifle, despite his firearms license having expired over 30 years ago. Police are still investigating his motive, and authorities have confirmed there was no prior indication he planned the attack. In the weeks leading up to the shooting, family members had grown increasingly concerned for Mintzas' well-being. After a welfare check requested by a relative in September, police visited his Croydon Park apartment and reported he was fine. According to his family, Mintzas had been struggling with housing, moving into the unit in June, but unable to easily access upper floors due to health issues. Despite these challenges, relatives described him as a loving father and a generally good person, struggling quietly with his circumstances. Mintzas is set to face court again on December 3rd. Kimberley, Western Australia, October 9th. Friends and family of Mark Sear have expressed concern over his disappearance in the Kimberley region. His car was found abandoned with no trace of him in the surrounding bushland. Police described the case as suspicious, and investigations include checking CCTV, speaking with locals, and reviewing mobile phone data. Sear's friends say he's meticulous and rarely goes off-grid, deepening fears of foul play. Tasmania, Victoria Cafasso cold case, October 10th. Tasmania police announced a $1 million reward for information leading to the killer of Victoria Cafasso, who was found stabbed to death on a beach in 1995. Investigators believe new forensic technology, combined with re-examined witness accounts, may finally lead to a breakthrough. Victoria, an Italian tourist, was 20 years old at the time of her death. Her family has remained active in pursuing justice, attending police briefings and media conferences to keep the case in the public eye. Sydney, Reevesby Daycare, murder plot, October 10th. In southwest Sydney, a potentially deadly attack was narrowly averted outside a childcare centre in Revesby. New South Wales police intercepted a planned assassination before it could unfold. Three men, Kevin Mundine, Grail Teague, and Tyrone Tuluga-Rio, were arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder and participating in a criminal group. A fourth suspect remains at large. Authorities say the plot was linked to disputes within a Vietnamese-based organised crime syndicate, and police seized firearms, balaclavas, body cameras, and fuel canisters during the arrests. The intended hit was foiled before any shots were fired, sparing the local community from what could have been a tragedy. The case shocked residents, with dramatic moments outside the courthouse, including the mother of one accused spraying water at reporters, underscoring the tense and unusual nature of the proceedings. New South Wales, Mark Akers murder, October 10th. A woman has been charged with the murder of Mark Akers, whose body was discovered beside the Newell Highway Near Dubbo, in June 2025, Mark Akers, a man from Queensland, was found dead on the side of the Newell Highway, south of Geraldary, New South Wales, during a road trip from Brisbane to Melbourne. Police reported that Akers had suffered critical injuries, allegedly after being struck by a car, prompting an immediate investigation into the circumstances of his death. In July 2025, Victoria Police executed a search warrant at a home in Hampton Park, arresting 40-year-old Lisa Ann Silson, who was known to Akers, extradited to New South Wales in early October. Silson was formally charged with domestic violence-related murder and transported to Deniliquin Police Station. She was refused bail and is scheduled to reappear in the Albury Local Court, December 2025. Authorities continue to investigate the case, which has sent shockwaves through both the local and broader communities. Victoria, Rockbank man charged. October 11th. In Epping, Victoria, a man from Rockbank was charged with murder after a woman was found dead at a residential property. Police say the victim and accused knew each other, and the investigation is ongoing. The accused remains in custody pending trial, and forensic teams continue to process the scene for evidence that may clarify the circumstance of her death. Bunbury, WA. Dog shooting, October 11th. Stanley J. Clemens, 74, was sentenced after shooting a neighbour's dog. The court heard Clemens had been involved in a long-standing dispute with neighbours over property lines and noise complaints. He received a suspended sentence and a lifetime firearm ban. The magistrate described the act as callous and disproportionate, noting the case highlighted issues with community disputes escalating into criminal behaviour. Sydney, MMA fighter, shot dead, October 11th. Luke Donnellan, an MMA fighter, was gunned down in Sydney while sitting in a parked car. Police described the attack as brazen and targeted, with surveillance footage under analysis. Detectives are investigating possible connections to organized crime and prior disputes involving the victim. Victoria, secondary school lockdown. A school in Victoria went into lockdown following a targeted assault on students by a group of youths. Officers report that two students were seriously assaulted before the attackers fled. Police are investigating links to gang activity and social disputes, while the school reopened the following day under police supervision. Queensland, teen assault, October 13th. In a shocking incident west of Brisbane, a 17-year-old boy has been charged with torture and deprivation of liberty after allegedly abducting and assaulting a 15-year-old. The attack unfolded on Sunday, the 12th of October, 2025, after the teenager reportedly connected with the victims earlier that day on social media. Police allege that the 17-year-old lured a group of boys, including a 14-year-old, and the 15-year-old to a Muruka address before driving them to Redbank Plains. There, he allegedly threatened both the 14 and 15-year-old with a knife. The 15-year-old was forcibly placed in the boot of a car and driven to New Chum, where he was allegedly assaulted with a hammer and knife over approximately 20 minutes. The boy eventually escaped and sought help from a passerby. He was taken to hospital in stable condition, while the 14-year-old suffered no injuries. The 17-year-old was later arrested at a nearby home in 1 mile and faces multiple charges, including deprivation of liberty, armed robbery, assault, wounding, torture, and possession of a drug utensil. The matter is now before the Ipswich Children's Court, and police continue to urge anyone with information to come forward. New South Wales, Gordon Kesey widow's warning, October 2025. The widow of slain Gordon Kesey, who was killed earlier this year in a targeted shooting, issued a blunt warning to those responsible. They're fucked. Police continue their investigation into suspects linked to organized crime, citing Kesey's murder as part of broader gang-related violence. That concludes this week's episode of Felon Debrief. Be sure to tune in next week for another update on the latest crime news and developments shaping the country.